We're looking at Matthew chapter 7, and beginning at verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now we come to the last of the messages in this passage, although I will have two more messages. The Sermon on the Mount, our Lord Jesus Christ is addressing believers. It's good for us to remember this is an impossible sermon unless you've been to Calvary. But if a person has been to Calvary and has known of the forgiveness of sins and peace with God, then here is the mountain he must climb. It's a very beautiful sermon, and we can be carried away by the Beatitudes without realizing that they are very, very searching and profound, and we are expected to climb this mount. And indeed, it would be one of the proofs, at least, of having been to Calvary and our sins forgiven. Our faith is in Christ. He outlines a life of grace and the ability to achieve it. And then a little secret, remember, how to do this: ask, seek, knock. We had that part. The sermon, as a sermon in climax, in verse 12 particularly, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so unto them, for this is the law and the prophets. Imagine what a transformation a church would go through if we followed just that request, that we should do to men what we'd like them to do to us, and vice versa. What a lovely relationship there would be, avoiding hurt and expressing love, and indeed reflecting something of the psalm I'm fond of with these words: for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Very often you could say, for my own sake, I will seek unkind thoughts about thee, rather than I will seek thy good. But if we if we respect the house of God and God himself, then we will seek one another's good. So we conclude with exhortations, the broad and the narrow way, if you remember that, and consider our destination. Then there was a part about false prophets in sheep's clothing, and then a false peace, not all who say, Lord, Lord. And then we come concerning our advice using the illustration of a building. And it's essential that we should be right, especially in this. In verse 22, we had, if you remember, to link, not everyone that doeth, saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That is a really, very frightening statement. And if you remember, if I can find it now, the quotation, I don't think I will find it, but I can try. Well, here it says by Lloyd-Jones, regarding Lord, Lord, not everyone that says Lord, Lord shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And this is what he said, and to remind you, these surely are in many ways the most solemnizing words ever uttered in this world, not only by man, but even by the Son of God himself. Indeed, were any man to utter such words, we should feel compelled not only to criticize, but even to condemn him. But they are words spoken by the Son of God himself, and therefore demand our most earnest attention. What he's saying is, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is the Lord's. So that we come now to an illustration to explain that. And we are given a striking picture of two men building a house. And it's a simple illustration, but it's a very profound one. The outward appearance, they're pretty much the same. And you could say, well, there's no difference between these two houses at all. And that's what he has in mind here. So firstly then, the aim of these two men is aimed at Christians, although there are similarities between these two houses. It shows us how far Satan will go to deceive within the church. Remember, these are within the church. How far Satan would go. You might say, well, once you're in the church and you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd think, as far as that is concerned, he'd leave you alone. No, he would try, and he would be successful with some. As they're on the point of faith, they make a false step or a sidestep. It looks the same, but it's not the same. So, although they are similar, they are not the same. The two men and their similarities, we learn from the example. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. That's one. I will liken him unto a foolish man that will build his house upon the sand. So that's what we have. It's a very simple story. They say, this man's going to build on the rock, and this one's going to build on the sand. They both desire to build a house to live in. They have that in common. Probably they're near to one another, and their houses probably look the same. Now, speaking spiritually, doctrinally, these two houses or people are in agreement. They would not disagree on any point of doctrine. They probably would be in the same congregation, especially thinking here now. And they would delight, both of them, in the essentials. For both of them, their aim is heaven, and they love the same hymns. So you can see now how far Satan will go. Remember the conclusion of this lovely hymn, far off I see the goal, O Saviour, guide me. I feel my strength is small, be thou beside me. With vision ever clear, with love that conquers fear, and grace to persevere, O Lord, provide me. It shows a longing there. Their aim is glory, both of them. Yet one is wise, and one is foolish. And the only clue we have to the difference is the rock and the sand. That is the only clue that we have. None other. Now, the two attitudes of these two men, the difference in their outlook. In Luke 6, verse 48, he is like a wise man which built an house and dig deep. He is like a man who built a home upon the earth. Now then, the foolish man wants quick results. He takes shortcuts. His prevalent attitude is building up a congregation quickly. And he personally is in a hurry to see instant salvations and keep up with modern times as well, so that he's very lively, very active, probably preaches the truth, but would make it very easy to come into membership to have a rapid build. I heard a man once, I'll not go into the details because he was so honest about it. He had a very large church, a few thousands. And he said his aim in life, he went to confess this before us all, his aim in life had been to fill the church. And he said, I confess, he said, that I haven't made any demands about repentance or real faith, but just told them to believe and all will be well. and I get them baptized, and they're in. And I've been very successful. He said, but I'm a fraud. And I confess it before you all and repent. So that shows you really he'd come to a realization. Now, deeper than that, like a personal examination, it fails to read the question carefully, in a hurry, verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. So anyone who's read all that and read them quickly and carelessly in a hurry will come to a wrong conclusion. He ignored the sayings of God. He's a hearer only. He listens but doesn't take it in. And only a doer if it suits him. See, that's what makes it so difficult. The one who built on the sand is so anxious to get on, and he'll agree. He doesn't follow the words of Christ except where it is suitable and where it is convenient. So he seems all right. He knows the truth. He preaches the truth as well, maybe. And he agrees with it, but is selective in what he will obey. That's the problem here. He's on sand. He's insecure. And there's an unevenness about him. If you look at the house, it has cracks. You would hardly notice them, but they are there. You might say, well, they're only little cracks. It's a very nice building. It's being built correctly. The right doctrines are in place. But they're just little deviations here. But they're not important. They look so unimportant. But there are little signs that this person isn't quite what he ought to be. He thinks he is. That's a sad thing. There's contradictory behavior. He doesn't believe in being too committed. He believes in being committed, but not going too far. Not going too far. But he's very pleasant and makes a very good church member. The wise man, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Consider, the Lord frequently mentions rock here. Do you want to see this through? Do you want to build on the rock? Now, as in an examination, to build now, we have our knowledge, we have our understanding, we have our bricks, we have all that we need, and we have our doctrines and the summary of doctrines and we know all the articles as well, and we've read the question carefully, and doeth these sayings of mine. So he's saying, I believe, the other one said believe, and he would say something like this, and of course I will do what he tells me to when it suits, when it's convenient, when it's not too demanding. This one, however, and doeth the sayings of mine. He's read the statement carefully. So all the sayings are the Sermon on the Mount, and fulfills them, agrees with them, loves them, and performs them as well. He has realized his life is not his own. What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, whereby which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So our purpose in life now is to glorify God in the physical body and in our spirits, which belong to God, because we have been bought a great price. Now, with the rock, he digs deep, and he comes to the rock. He moves a great deal of rubble, first of all, and we have to move a lot of rubble in our lives. And so he comes to the rock, and he knows about repentance, and he knows about faith. But he comes to the bedrock of God's grace, And there he begins to build. Now, the achievements of these two men, both live in their separate houses. There comes a time of testing. The circumstances and events of life display what we are and what we have spiritually. Would you agree with that? It's how we react, how we respond in the circumstances of life, display what we are like, and if we truly are men and women of faith, or whether we have a very lovely house on sand or a lovely house on a rock. Which is it? The rains come and the floods and the wind. Now, it's the same rain falls on both houses, it's the same floods come on both, and it's the same wind. But these elements seek out every flaw. Rain will find a crack and soon make the house damp. Wind also can separate brick from brick, you know. All these things can affect when circumstances go against us. And it is a test. So we're looking at these two beautiful houses. And to the ordinary eye, they are identical. You know, it seems like that. But the circumstances of life are showing a difference between them in the response, in the reactions. The foolish man, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, look at those words now. These circumstances come into this man's life, but he had nothing really, only knowledge. Interesting knowledge, and pretty thorough knowledge, but there was no foundation there. No foundation. So the house falls, but these words frighten me, and great was the fall of it. It claimed so much and fell so low. It claimed a great deal, but fell. A spurious faith in an hour need. He fled from the sight of God, who knows our hearts. Now, in a way, it's a terrible thing, as Satan is so cruel, that we can make our way as if we were coming to God, and we listen to the things, but we haven't listened as we should. We haven't read the statement as we ought. Now, the wise man, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock. If you were making a sermon on a Sunday on that, the rock would be our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. He is our foundation. There's no subsidence there at all. There's nothing to undermine the faith here. There are no cracks the wind and the rain can seek out. Here is consistent behaviour, resting in the promises of Christ on the rock, because they have been to Calvary, because they are forgiven. Now then, but there is more, you see. There's more to explain this, because you could see maybe the other persons who seem to have done that. Well, it's this. When people, the difference is always the same. A man-centered gospel and a God-centered one. Now, I'm not talking now about theological things, but an attitude, really. A man-centered one might agree with all the good things and says, I will choose God. You see, it's man-centered. I've come to the conclusion that these words are excellent and I will believe them. The other one, however, realizes there is something greatly missing in me. I understand these things. Yes, I understand, and I know what's been said. And I love them, and I want them, but there's something in me lacking. And that lacking thing is that life from God, born again, regeneration. That is there. So you see, you can't hurry this kind of salvation. You can quite easily, especially say in young people's meetings, if you go away for a week with young people, you can get them almost do anything. So you can get them, many will have said, I believe because my friend believed, you know. You get that kind of situation. But here, a person says, I want the real thing, and will wait. I may have to wait quite a while, and then knows in his heart that God is approaching him. The other one is not so interested in that. The other one is interested in an intellectual or an emotional experience on his behalf. And he says, well, yes, I went to a church. I was greatly moved. I went to a church, you know, and I agreed fully with it, and my intelligence agreed with it, all that. But this one is saying, I wanted God. Nothing less. I wanted God. Now, the difference now is this. The same doctrines, but for this man, they are living things. To be a sinner, he knows, he falls short of the glory of God. He knows something of the holiness of God. The other one would know it doctrinally and correctly and be impressed by it. But this one, it almost brings a holy terror in his heart. The very thought, you know, of eternal light, how pure the soul must be. When placed within thy searching sight, it shrinks not, but with calm delight can live and look on thee. The final test for both is death. I have a quotation again by Lloyd Jones. We all have to face the fact of death. It will come to each one of us We all have to face the fact of death. It will come to each one of us in some shape or form. And will test to the very foundations all we have ever built. It will be the greatest test. What a tremendous thing death is. We have not been through it, so we know nothing about it. It must be a tremendous thing to pass through that moment when you realize you are going out of this world and leaving all you have always known and crossing into that land beyond the veil. There is nothing that is so profoundly testing a man as to his foundations as the mighty fact and moment of death. So words by Dr. Lloyd-Jones. These sayings are mine, the will of my Father in heaven, doctrine applied. To do so, the foundation must be right. So you might say, what am I going to look at? How am I going to test? Shall I test this man by the bricks and the mortar and the windows and the curtains and the furniture? Will I test him like that? Or shall I test him by seeing, is this house solid? How shall I test him? And so we are tested in many ways. You know, we are tested. So Job was tested in very great ways. And he made a great statement, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. And in one place it says, even if you kill me, Lord, I trust thee. You know, so that's it's coming to that place where you so trust God, you trust him with any circumstance that comes your way, or any event. That trust, that faith, God-given faith, is unshakable because it is in God, not in knowledge. You need the knowledge. The knowledge is important, but trusting in God. In 1 Corinthians 11, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation is out of sight. Deep heart work in the heart of the soul, a visit of the Holy Spirit, a new principle of life produces repentance and faith, which are essential experiences in a Christian a pilgrimage. Repentance and faith, and acceptance by God the Father of ourselves because we are in Christ. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose. I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. That's God speaking in a way. It's a hymn, I know. Listen to it again. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, the person himself, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. And there the Sermon on the Mount ends. I will have more messages, but that's where the sermon itself ends.